Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Help our hearts and minds to be open and receptive to your word. And Lord, have your Holy Spirit touch each one of us, that as we hear your word, it will move us to live more and more abundantly for you, and that you may be seen by those round about us and glorify you. Be with us now as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture text for today is found in Matthew chapter 17, beginning at verse 24. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Matthew 17, beginning at verse 24. When they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" He answered, "Yes." And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take custom or taxes? From their sons or from strangers?" Peter said to him, "From strangers." Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, take the fish that comes up first, and when you have opened his mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and for you." These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. This seems like a odd portion of scripture to be speaking on, and yet it tells us so much of how life is. It's been said there are two things in life that we can never get away from. That's death and taxes. This has been spoken through the years and through many times, and Jesus has told us that we are to realize that the taxes are to be paid when they are due. We look back into history and we find that even in the wilderness, there was a temple tax. And that was in the days of Moses, and that temple tax was one, we call it a harvest fest or in-gathering here today, but we realize it's a temple tax back in the Jewish days and in the days of Christ. That temple tax was to pay the maintenance fees of the church or of the synagogue, the temple, and to pay the teachers of that day, also to keep everything running smoothly. And so the temple tax in Jesus's day equaled one half of a shekel. A half a shekel would equal about a half of ounce of gold. Today's market gold is running around $1,200 an ounce. Everybody at the age of 20 or older had to pay this half shekel temple tax every year. And if you didn't pay it in your local temple, you had to pay it in Jerusalem. And so this temple tax in Capernaum, they wanted money for their own temple. And so the man came up and asked Peter, "Does your master pay temple tax?" Which would be a question without harming anyone. And Peter in the affirmative said yes. When we look back, we find Jesus is speaking to Peter here first, that he says, "Who do the kings charge the tax from? Strangers or from their own children or their own sons?" And we see Jesus is the Son of the living God. He's the Son of the King of kings and Lord of lords. He wouldn't have to pay taxes, and he wouldn't, because he created the heavens and the earth. The form of government back then and even today is given by Christ and given by God. It's set up that way, and we are to honor that if we like it or not. Are they always good Christian people? The answer is no. We find that so very, very much. In Isaiah, as we read that portion of scripture, we see that God is telling through Isaiah that a king will reign in righteousness. That king is Jesus Christ. When Christ reigns here on the earth, it'll be in righteousness and in judgment. He'll have his 1,000-year reign. It will be peaceful, and it will be one without war and without animosity, because he will do it in peace and in righteousness. Yet, at the end of that 1,000 years, we find that Satan is loosed from his prison. And as he is loosed, he goes into all the world, and he gets the armies of the world to come against Christ. And we can see, even before that happens, the things that goes on when you look at verses 6 through 8 of how the foolish person will no longer be called generous. Today they're calling bad good and good bad. They're calling right wrong and wrong right in the world, not only in the United States, but throughout the world. And we find that there is a group of people, and Satan is working a mighty hand through them. They are not looking at the constitutions of any country, but they want a one-world government. And they think that this one-world government will solve all the problems of the world. They'll have a one-world currency, and they will have a one person telling everybody else what to do. We find as we read scripture and as we read prophecy that this time is coming upon us very, very rapidly. We find these people that are doing this, they have no thought of the Constitution or of people except what they want. You see, those people are being controlled by Satan. And because they're controlled by Satan, they're not listening to God. They're only listening to what they want in this day. We may look at it, and some people will say, you're not talking very smart. Yes, as you study history and as you study the things going on that even Congress can't handle, we find there is a power working behind the scenes, underhanded, and trying to destroy our form of government and the form of the governments of all the worlds, that they would come together as one world government. And we find that happening more and more, and that's what it tells us here in Isaiah, that the schemers will continue scheming. And those who are foolish or those who won't listen to God are keeping on because they think their way is the way in which things should go. As we look into Romans in our text, Paul is telling us that all government authorities that we have today are set up or authorized by God. Are they all Christian? No. And we find that we have to pay the taxes that the governments need so that they can enact certain laws that are supposed to protect and keep us safe. Yet we find these people working for Satan, working underhand, and doing everything they can to destroy our way of life and to destroy what God has planted and the way God wants it to be. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, they had a perfect dominion. And when Adam and Eve sinned, they told the devil, they says, you take over our responsibility. You take over and we will follow you and we will obey you and do what you want, because we are giving the kingdom that God gave us to you. And God sent his only begotten Son into the world to reclaim that kingdom. Christ had to die. He was rejected, and he had to die on the cross and shed his precious blood for fighting for that kingdom that was rightfully his, that was given to Adam and Eve to have dominion over. They let Satan take it away from them. They gave it to him deliberately and purposefully. Then we have sin in the world ever since. Satan is working overtime, and we call it overtime. I don't know if that's really the right word, but we find him working. We find all kinds of things happening. We find things happening in the world that we never thought of. And yet, we wonder, where is God? And God says, you have kicked me out of your schools, you have kicked me out of your businesses, and in many churches you have kicked me out of them. And then you want me to have mercy and grace on you. Remember, those who do wrong will pay. And yes, many times the innocent have to suffer along with it. And one of the things we find, we pay taxes. The governments are set up by God's permission. God allows certain governments to be set up, and he allows them to work in the way he would allow them. You see, Satan cannot do anything on his own completely unless God allows him to do it in this kingdom, even on earth. And Satan says he's in control of the earth. Yet, God is in control of Satan himself. God will let Satan show his full true colors of how terrible sin is. And God has told us that those who follow Satan, who do not look to the salvation of their soul through Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary, that they would be punished. And in that punishment, they will have eternal punishment in hell because their names are not written in the book of life. So you see, when Jesus told Peter, go and catch a fish, that fish he caught, if you have been in Israel and if you have taken the tourist attraction of eating fish, they call it Peter's pan frying fish. It's a fish with a large mouth, and that fish is normally caught only by nets, not by hooks. So Jesus told Peter, use a hook, to show that he had the power over those fish. He had the power that that fish would bite that hook, because normally you don't catch that type of fish with that large of a mouth in anything except a net. And that fish, if you study the fish itself, the fish has its babies coming out of its mouth. Don't ask me how that works. I don't know. And the first few hours of the baby's life, if danger comes to those baby fish, the mother fish opens the mouth and the small fish swim inside of it, and they stay there until it's safe again for them to go out. And this is something that, as I studied this and as I was read about it, and I thought, that's really, really a miracle in and of itself, that God is protecting those fish. Today, they're calling it Peter's frying pan fish, and it's one, when you order it, you get the whole fish, head and all, eyes looking at you, you know, if you like that. And you find, then you do the cutting off of the head and the tail and the fins, and then you can eat the fish. And it's a tourist attraction, I suppose, for today. But back in those days, that was the main fish they caught commercial fishing. And the hook, Christ showed Peter that my compassion is that we can catch one fish And that fish will have that shekel in it that you can go pay the temple tax. And then Christ shows his compassion to Peter by saying, I'm paying my tax, which I don't have to pay because I'm the Son of the living God, and I'm paying the tax for you also. We complain about taxes, and maybe rightfully so. And we find that God tells us, pay your taxes, even if they're used wrongly. And if you're going to change it, you change it through your representatives and senators or whoever to change the tax law. You don't do rioting. You don't do protesting, as we see throughout the world today, not only in the United States, but throughout the world. They're protesting something. And if they don't know what to protest, they're protesting to protest. And we find some of them are making a living just protesting. God says they will be punished because they are not doing something that God has ordained. The protest, the working against the government in that style and that way, we find is not what God said. God says, love your enemies. Do good to those that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you. And yet we find that so many times we complain, and we might have a just reason to do so. Yet God tells us that taxes are necessary even in our governments today to keep the government operating. And yet we find these people that are working against the government, against our constitutions, and against everything that we as a country have stood for, because they think one world government is the way to go. And some of these people are or were high officials in the government. And it's not only in the United States, it's worldwide. And this society that they have doing this is worldwide. They feel they have the right answers to keep peace, but there will be no peace until Christ rules. We find that and we know that. And Jesus has told Peter in here, you pay the temple tax that way, even though I don't owe temple tax, he says, I am paying it in order to not offend those people, not to offend them and give them something to talk about. And this is how we should be living even in this day when we look at our taxes, when we look at who we're going to vote for. With the election coming up, and I've said it before, pray that God will put the people in there that will do his will. Pray that God will move your pen to vote for the one God wants in there. Pray for the one that God wants to have his will done through. Pray for the one that will benefit not only our country, but will stand up for Jesus Christ. If we don't have those types of people in government, can we expect anything but a government that is not Christian? And the answer would have to be no. We know we have to be involved in government work. We have to be involved, if nothing else, by paying our taxes. We do it. Let us do it, not begrudgingly, but realizing that the government needs it to operate. But pray that God would move a mighty way amongst the people in Congress to make laws that we would be able to live under, serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We find so many people that want to do it their own way, and their pride will not let them turn to God Almighty. Jesus has said, that the time will come when those who do wrong will think they're doing right, and those who are doing right will be told they're doing wrong. They'll say, sour is sweet and sweet is sour, right is wrong and wrong is right. And we see that so very plainly in Romans, and as we read the book of Romans and as we read through Scripture itself. Christ has warned us. You know, he came down from the temple of, or the Mount of Transfiguration. He healed a boy and from demon possession. And then he had told about his crucifixion coming up. And now this people asked Paul, Peter, if your master pays taxes, because again, he was not looking to take and condemn Christ, but he wanted his tax money. And Peter said, yes, he pays taxes. And Christ asked him, does the son have to pay taxes? Does your children have to pay you for living in your house? And you would say, no. Does your children then get by free? And if you were going to rent out, you would not charge your own family? But if a stranger come in and wanted to stay at your place for a length of time, you would probably charge them rent. And this is only feasible. And the same thing is in with taxes. The government has to run, and this is why we're taxed. We're taxed way back and goes all the way back, way into the days of Moses and even before, that taxes were collected in Egypt. The taxes were collected and property was taken if it was needed because of the taxes that weren't paid. So you see, taxes is not a sin. Using them wrongly, yes, it can be. But we do not have the right to protest openly and to have big demonstrations because of the love of God in our heart and in our life. You see, if we have Christ in our life, we will work through the officials to try and get laws changed, yet we will find and we will still live for Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. We will proclaim him and we will stand up for him regardless of the cost to us. We find many times that we are talked about because we don't agree with things of the world. Yet we find that because we have Christ as our personal Lord, he's the one that died on Calvary's cross. He's the one that shed his blood for us. He's the one that rose again for us. And he's the one that ascended into heaven. He is the one we serve. And therefore, even in this world in which we're living, we want to proclaim and show the love of God from us to those round about us. And the opportunities come in which we can speak and tell about the love of God, we are to do that. As we sang in the first song this morning, you know, we find how Christ gave himself and was rejected for us. Yet, many times when we sing these songs, we aren't singing them except we see the words. What do those words mean to you? They should mean a lot. And when we sing those songs, we should mean what we are singing. When we do the confession of sin and when we do the creed, do we just say it or do we mean it? If our hearts are right with Christ, we will be living for him and we will pray it in a meaningful way day by day. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we take communion, that our hearts and minds are with you, that as we take communion, we have our hearts right with you, and Lord, that you would watch over us, and as we pay our taxes and as we vote, O God, that you would be first and foremost in all that we say, think, or do. In Jesus' name, amen.